Episode 176 Lean in a Special Healthcare Environment. Kaizen to go. Herzlich willkommen zu dem Podcast für Lean-Interessierte, die in ihren Organisationen die kontinuierliche Verbesserung der Geschäftsprozesse und Abläufe anstreben, um Nutzen zu steigern, Ressourcenverbrauch zu reduzieren und damit Freiräume für echte Wertschöpfung zu schaffen, für mehr Erfolg durch Kunden- und Mitarbeiterzufriedenheit, höhere Produktivität durch mehr Effektivität und Effizienz an den Maschinen, im Außendienst, in den Büros bis zur Chefetage. Heute habe ich Ben van Asselt bei mir im Podcastgespräch. Das ist ein Novum, ein erstes Mal. Wir werden uns auf Englisch unterhalten. Das Transkript zur Episode wird es aber auf Deutsch geben. Ben van Asselt ist Black Belt Lean Project Manager in einer Gesundheitsorganisation in den Niederlanden, die Menschen mit mentalen Einschränkungen unterstützt. Und damit wechsle ich jetzt auf Englisch. Hello, Ben.
Hi, good. Hello, how are you doing?
Fine. I hope you too.
Yes.
Said already, let's say, half a sentence about you. Go a bit deeper into what you are doing in that organization.
Ah, yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, you introduced me in German. My name is Ben van Asselt. I work in the Netherlands, but I live in Belgium. I work for a healthcare organization called Lunetzorg, and our organization is for people with mental disabilities, and those people live at our institute during their whole life, and here they get treatment or therapy or support by our professionals during their life here. Mm-hmm. So in a way, yeah, I think in Germany you guys have the same, no?
Yeah, we have also those organizations. Well, if I think about lean and, let's say, traditional industry, my initial thought was, how on earth did he encounter lean, respectively Six Sigma?
Yeah. Well, yeah, good question. Especially if I tell you that my background is in the psychology or the orthopedagogics business, and you in Germany, you guys call it Heilpädagog, if I'm not wrong on it. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, you're right. It's absolutely not in engineering or IT business whatsoever. And to be honest, 4 years ago, I did not even know what Lean or Six Sigma was all about. I started my Lean journey with a Lean Green Belt certification. This was the training you see everywhere in the world. It was given by an institute here in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. It was called the Lean Six Sigma Group. But we got there thanks to our HR director. Our HR director, he was from Philips. He came from Philips. Mm. And in Philips, well, there they know all about Lean and Six Sigma. So he said, well, we had something, and it's called Lean. Maybe that can work for you guys here at the organization Lunetzorg. Mm-hmm. Maybe it can work for you guys. And so we hopped on that Lean train. We went on that Lean journey. And in my case, I got the Lean Green Belt certification. And we did some minor improvements, but they were all in the staff. And we saw that worked. So now they ask us to go grow bigger with Lean in our organization. Mm. And even so far that I am now a black belt Lean guy here.
Mm-hmm. I want to dig a little bit deeper into your organization and, let's say, the value that you provide. I think it's also special because they don't pay you as in a traditional industry, where the customers pay for getting value.
Yeah, correct. Well, yeah, it is the organization is for people with mental disabilities. And as I said before, these people live at our institute during their whole life for treatment, therapy, or support by our professionals. But let me first tell you how big our organization is in a way that mm-hmm. you understand the metrics a little yep. bit. We have around 3,000 clients. Okay. We don't call them patients, we call them clients. Mm-hmm. And we also have around about 3,000 employees.
Okay.
So in a way, our client-employee ratio is 1-on-1. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty big.
Sure.
And what we try to do is we try to give a good life for our clients. So if you see our mission statement, you will see in that mission statement that what we are trying to do is to give the client a good life. Mm. And to be honest, they have the same rights as you and me.
Sure.
So our purpose is to support them to overcome that gap in having a good life, because mm-hmm. for you and me, the society is, I think, already complex. For those guys, it's super complex. Mm-hmm. We don't get money from our clients, but we get money from the health insurer or the government. Mm-hmm. And with that money, they tell us to support or give the therapy or the treatment to our clients during their whole life. So in a way, there is cash flow. We need cash. We have a financial situation that's mm-hmm. very important, actually, for us, mm-hmm. but because we are simply an organization like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But we are not out on profit. Mm-hmm. So what we are trying to do is we try to give so good as possible life we can get for the clients. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, they will be more satisfied.
Sure.
And in a way, if they tell other people that they are satisfied thanks to us, yeah, we get more clients. So in a way, it works a little bit in the way that if somebody is satisfied, they tell another, and then they come to us and also want us to help them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to talk about, to define something like a value stream in your organization?
It's not like in an industry. It's not like in a factory that you can say like, especially if you focus on our clients, like, okay, how is our clients situated in a value stream? Mm. But what we can do is that our organization is filled with processes. Mm. So, for example, if somebody wants to have support or care, then he has to do an intake. And that intake determines where we can position that client. And when we have the correct position for that client, then we need to instruct the teams. And when the teams are instructed, the client has to come there. Mm. So in a way, then you can start formalize a value stream for those processes. Mm-hmm. When we started with Lean, the first lesson we learned was, please don't try to boil the ocean, because the processes we have are so big, make them small so you understand them, and then you can start. Well, in the first place, a lot of times we started with standardization of the processes, and after standardization, then the next step was continuous improvement.
Can we talk about typical problems to be resolved? As for traditional industry, there's always what's the English expression? The German one is Durchlaufzeit. The time from the point that the customer says, yeah, I want this, till the point that the company gets the money for it.
Yeah.
Lead time.
It's a super question, because we have the same, but I'm talking now with you about our clients as our customer. Mm. But what we also have as our customer is just our colleague.
Okay.
So if a if a colleague wants something of the HR department, he wants to whatever, he changes his weekly hours or something like that, then a process will start running. And that process that is starting, that a lot of times we noticed that those processes were too long. So the time needed to get through the whole process was too big. Mm. But to be honest, a lot of times here in Lunetsov, we didn't know exactly how long those processes were. So the metrics around those processes of HR processes or processes in our intake procedures or something like that, we didn't know how many, how long, etc., etc. So the first step was always to measure it, to be honest, and to talk with the people of those processes.
Which I think is a typical situation for, let's say, any industry, because we are not talking about value-adding processes, we are talking about support processes.
And true.
And normally the first focus is on the value-add processes, where you also measure them.
True, but what we saw in the value-adding is that when we had all the steps of a process, a lot of times we asked the question, is this step necessary? With other words, is this step value-adding for our colleague, which is the client of, the customer of this process? A typical thing in the healthcare organization in Holland is that everybody has to give his signature for okay. So there is a lot of times there is control, a control step in our process. So, for example, I want to change my my working hours. My boss is okay with that. So he mutates, and I think that's the correct word. Yeah, he mutates my working hours. On that moment, my boss, with sending that mutation to the HR department, is his okay. Why is that mutation again coming back to my boss? That was an interesting question. And sometimes you think, yeah, that's ridiculous. Why you get that step back? Because the boss itself is already sending his approval by doing the mutation. But when you listen to the people in that process, they can tell you that sometimes it's really necessary. So then again, you really have to talk about every process step, if it is value adding for the customer, yes or no.
Can we also talk about typical wastes to be reduced?
It's actually the waste you have in the industry, we also have them here. Let's be honest about that. So the biggest way, if you ask me personally, the biggest waste we see is over processing and waiting time. So a lot of waiting. And waiting is in two forms. Our clients really wait a lot, and colleagues also have to wait long times before something is done or a mutation is there or stuff like that. So waiting is, I think, the biggest one we have here. And if I visit other companies in our healthcare business, they have the same wastes about that. Over processing, especially in our staff department, a lot of times colleagues in the staff department, they invent big processes, but they are not very practical or usable for the purpose. So we see a lot of over processing there. And that results, of course, in long lead time, of course. So, yeah, I would say over processing and waiting is one of the biggest things we have.
As you said before, in the beginning, 5 years ago, nobody was thinking about lean. So and which is normally a typical situation for any company. There is some point in time where you don't know anything about Lean, and then you encounter Lean and you start to deal with it. And
yeah,
in my experience, the typical reaction is some kind of rejection. So
yeah,
I guess you also encountered that saying, that response, yes, but we are different.
Yes. Yes. For us, it's the same. And especially as a black belter, I'm responsible for the deployment of Lean in our organization. When people ask me, what's your job? Sometimes I have to answer them, it's politics.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Sure, I know.
How do you say that? A lot of people have a kind of resistance because it's something new, it's something they don't know. And that makes it difficult to have a good deployment. But I think that you need the force of visual management in this, especially when I go with my Lean team, when we go to a location where our clients live and where our colleagues work with the clients. A lot of time you really have to show them, okay, we did some observations here. And those observations we did, well, I can show them here because we made pictures. Sometimes we made video. We even do some, it's not rocket science, but I mean, we do some measurements, you know, with a stopwatch or just how many meters are you walking from client A to B, stuff like that. And then suddenly the colleagues who are working with those clients on the Gemba, those colleagues really see that there is potential for improvement. And then you try to explain them how you can look at that with Lean. But it is very important that you stay in contact with the team, and you stay in contact with, if you can, with the clients, because some of the times the clients are also, well, they can talk with you about things that are going wrong and that what bugs them and stuff like that. So you really have to keep that connection. And if it works, if you work with that, if you get the connection, well, you can move mountains with them.
Yeah. And I think people everywhere, and I think this is the big similarity across all industries, they have to feel what's in it for them.
Yeah. And I also use a lot of times the trick. Well, it's not really a trick, but I saw it, Mike Rother doing it. He asked people in a big room, he asked people to write their names with their dominant hand. He times that, how long that it takes. And then he asks them to switch one little thing. So to change one little thing and to write their name with their non-dominant hand. And well, we know what happens. And then he asks, okay, what happens if you do this every day for like 5 or 10 minutes? Yeah, eventually it will get better and better and better. So when I explain this to the teams, the message I give them is that I understand that change is difficult. And especially if you work there in a team for like 25 years, then change is something you don't want. So simple is it. That's so simple is it.
And also what Mike Rother said, if you learn something and it doesn't feel some kind of awkward, then you're not learning.
Exactly. You need to be in that uncomfortable situation.
And I think the teacher has also be aware that the, let's say, the learning situation is also uncomfortable for the teacher.
I want to add to that. We are talking about teachers and learners, but a lot of times I think that the teacher himself is a learner.
Sure. Because every one you encounter is different and has probably a different learning style.
Exactly. And for me, I have encountered sometimes that colleagues of mine, I was coaching them, but to be honest, I learned more from them than they could learn from me with my lean experience, stuff like that, you know? So, and if you are open for that, you give them trust, in a way, they start to trust you.
Yeah.
So that works pretty well.
Yeah. I always say my biggest skill is asking dumb questions. Quite often there is some talk about cultural obstacles, cultural challenges. Can we talk also in your, let's say, organization, in your environment about that? And which ones are there and how you deal with them?
If I understand it correctly, you mean that there is a difference in like the industry as a culture and the healthcare business as a culture?
For example.
Is that you mean?
Yeah.
Because that's what I hear a lot, that lean is from and about the industry, factory, stuff like that. Mm. And we are healthcare. And we are not a hospital. They live at our institute. So it doesn't work for us because, that's a difference, you know. We work differently. In a way, they are right, to be honest. And I see that there is also a difference between hospitals and my type of organization, the healthcare organization I am in. In the healthcare organization, and I don't want to be disrespectful or whatsoever, but a lot of times the hospitals are more like a factory. Mm-hmm. They are really with filling the beds. They talk about throughput. They talk about filling those beds as much as possible, as much as possible. But in our case, the people, our clients, they live at our place for like their whole life. Mm. So it works a little bit different. You have a different culture in our organization. And sometimes that's pretty difficult because those cultures, you have to notice them. And in the beginning of our talk, you were saying, your organization is not by making money, with profits and stuff like that. We want to be a financial healthy organization, but it's all about our clients. So even that makes it already a different culture.
How do you, let's say, spread lean throughout the organization? You are responsible for it. You are the black belt. What is the, let's say, the lean organization looks like within your organization?
Well, we already talked about little things about that, what we are doing, but we are starting to pick the fruits of lean now in this moment. We started 4 years ago, and during the first years it was all about educating the staff, and when they had their green belt certification, we hoped that they were doing something with lean on their own departments. And well, to be honest, that didn't work quite well. So we decided to shift up gears, and we really wanted to focus on the Gemba, there where our clients live, and there where actually where we make our money. And there is where we got our first big result. So we switched with the green belts, not to staff processes because we already did that, but we switched to the processes on those locations where all those clients are. And what you see is that the level of operational excellence of a team starts growing. So, and what that means for the teams on our location is that if they have 100% time, you can divide it in direct client time and indirect client time. And what we want is that we get as much as possible direct client time. So thanks to Lean and thanks to the to becoming more operational excellent, the time shifts from indirect to direct client time. And what you see then is that clients who get more direct time from our colleagues are more satisfied. And because of that, because our colleagues are also more satisfied. Because you really love it when you see that your client is enjoying your life thanks to you and your colleagues.
Which I think is, I guess, is a main driver to work in that industry, let's say.
Which is funny, we had a discussion here about our lead indicators or the biggest indicators, the most important indicators we use in our company. And a lot of times you hear like it's the financial indicator or it is how many clients we have in our organization, et cetera, et cetera. But if you start looking at with Lean, then it's, to be honest, it's the satisfaction of our clients and the satisfaction of our members. Colleagues.
I think it's the smile of on the faces of the people.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Correctly.
Okay.
Correctly.
What I also want to touch in my talks is about learnings, transfer, In your case, more, let's say, traditional industries, either healthcare or non-healthcare. Is there anything you say, this is special about us, and if other people would learn it, it would make their life easier?
I think what is very special about us is that we really, really, really try to focus on the people, because that's our job. Our job, even if you... if you are not talking about Lean, our job exists of people. We are working together with people. It's all about people. So it's for us, it's not about manufacturing something to as high quality as we can do. For us, what we found very important is how we interact with each other. How we interact with our clients, stuff like that. And if it's in our genes, so in a way, Lean is about the people. So in a way, that chapter is checked by us. Sometimes what I hear, if I talk with people about Lean, you hear a lot of times they say, oh yeah, Lean is about cost cutting. So yeah. Lean is about counting the heads, and then you say, okay, we can do with less person. Bye-bye. And I call it, and I think a lot of leaners call it the same as I do. We call it lean and mean. And I don't want the mean part in it. So as I am responsible for Lean deployment at Lunetsoy, of course I get discussions with managers or with directors or even with the board about what can Lean do for us. And sometimes they discuss about cost efficiency, and they discuss about less people on the floor and stuff like that. But those discussions are very good, because I can explain them that I don't want to use Lean for the mean side. And I always tell them, if you focus on the numbers, your people will go. So it's super easy. But if you focus on your people, and I know Lunetsoy, we can do this because we are very good in that, the people will stay. And those discussions are grateful. Those discussions are very good in our organization. So...
Unfortunately, if we think back, let's say 3 decades, I guess it was the same in the Netherlands, that Lean was at that time, 30 years ago, it was one big way to reduce workforce. And unfortunately, people still remember that, even they haven't been part of it at that time. but yeah. for whatever reason, it's within the genes somehow.
Yeah.
And I think, at least that my experience, it's a certain obstacle to prove that this time it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes what you just tell me, I hear that from our managers or a director here. And those guys, they have a lot of experience. So they know about lean. They know about lean in the financial business. Mm. They know about lean in some industries where it really was used the wrong way. Yep. So I understand that sometimes they are like, okay, we use lean there and we had as a result a lot of cost efficiency, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we can do that here. And then on that moment, they see my face and they know me already here for a long time. And then they say, okay, that's not a good idea. Yeah. What? No, it's not a good idea. It's my answer then.
Okay.
So, but I think the good thing is that we can discuss this. Yeah. That's very important. And we can discuss this up to the highest level in our organization. Hmm. And that makes it very powerful on this moment.
Hmm. Okay. So looking a bit at the time, it's about 30 minutes, 31 minutes. So Ben, I'm very grateful for your time that you are here talking with me about this thing from a very different perspective. But anyway, many, many, many thanks.
You're more than welcome. And I always like it to talk about lean, and I always like it to talk about our organization. So everybody feel free to contact me, no problem at all.
Yeah, I will put your contact information into the show notes.
Ah, nice, cool. All right, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Das war die heutige Episode im Gespräch mit Ben van Asselt zum Thema Lean in a Special Healthcare Environment. Die Übersetzung, Notizen und Links zur Episode finden Sie auf meiner Website unter dem Stichwort 176. Wenn Ihnen die Folge gefallen hat, freue ich mich über Ihre Bewertung bei iTunes. Sie geben damit auch anderen Lean-Interessierten die Chance, den Podcast zu entdecken. Ich bin Götz Müller und das war Kaizen2Go. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und Ihr Interesse. Ich wünsche Ihnen eine gute Zeit bis zur nächsten Episode. Und denken Sie immer daran, bei allem, was Sie tun oder lassen, das Leben ist viel zu kurz, um es mit Verschwendung zu verbringen.